Islamophobic incidents by some European countries in recent days. Outraged Pakistanis took to the streets of the capital Islamabad after Friday prayers to condemn the West for what they call its malicious anti-Islamic agenda.
Burning of Muslims' holy book by these Western nations proved that Islamophobic acts were not an expression of freedom of speech, but extremism. Sadly, extremism exists and is growing everywhere in Europe. It's time for European nations to think about who's promoting extremism by desecrating other religions.
Protesters chanted slogans and vented their anger against the silence of the West regarding repeated incidents of desecration of Holy Quran and the Prophet Muhammad. Demonstrators also called on Muslim nations to boycott European goods over what they describe as the West's insolent behavior.
We strongly condemn the blasphemous incident of desecration of the Holy Quran in Sweden. The incident is the worst and most heartbreaking act in Europe. There is no room for such a sad incident in a civilized society.
Demonstrators are demanding that the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, known as OIC, raise its voice against the growing intolerance against Islam and anti-Muslim acts across the globe.
It's time for the OIC to play its role in urging Muslim nations to stand united against Western conspiracies. Europe wants to ignite Muslims by doing such blasphemous acts. Once we are united, Europe will not dare to repeat such Islamophobic acts.
The countrywide rallies came days after Pakistan denounced what it described as the abhorrent act of desecration of the Quran in Sweden and the Netherlands, saying such acts disrespect Muslims across the globe.
Condemnations continue to pour in from Muslim countries across the world. Yemen, Qatar, along with other Islamic nations, joined Iran, Pakistan, and Turkey to denounce the desecration. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
People of Afghanistan are extremely upset about the deplorable and shocking act of some extremist individuals in Sweden and Holland in desecrating the Holy Quran, which is taken as a disrespect towards not just the Holy Book of Muslims, but all holy scriptures, by tearing the Holy Quran and setting it on fire. The primitive and uncivilized act of a bunch of radical elements in Europe has raised robust condemnation from Afghan people against such abominable act.
They claim human rights and still burn the Holy Quran. It looks like it's only for themselves. We want the Swedish government to punish the perpetrator of this action and also ask Islamic countries to be united against this action.
Even when such people insult the Holy Quran, the book's value increases for us. If we are not burning their holy books in response today, it is because of the teaching of the Holy Quran to have a peaceful relation with all people.
The Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan has also condemned the awful action and called for punishment of its perpetrators in Sweden and Holland.
We ask the government of Sweden to punish the perpetrators of this crime and do not let such individuals to act in provocative and heinous ways against the holy books.
The Holy Quran is simply a fundamental element to unite Muslims, so that Afghan politicians from various groups and ethnicities, including former administrators and current statesmen at the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, break ranks with the disgusting radical act towards the Holy Book committed by some extremist groups in Europe, and roundly condemned the disgusting act under the guise of freedom of speech. The Afghan politicians unanimously announced that the spirit and essence of coexistence of ideas and thoughts is definitely on the line, then on. During the protest, people of Afghanistan have called for the unity among believers of all Ibrahimic religions towards such targeted attacks, which have mainly aimed at weakening believing souls and freedom seekers of the entire world, and not just Islam and Muslims. Abdullah Mirzadeh, Kabul.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asle zinde ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu Alaikum to you dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program, Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Mandegari. Stay tuned.
Tayyib
Rezai was one of the hooligans of Tehran. If Shah of Iran wanted to make a mess in a gathering, he used Tayyib and his gang to do so. Now, once he was asked by Shah to disrupt one of the sessions of Imam Khomeini. However, Tayyib's answer was negative. He said that he would never act against the man of Allah, Ayatollah Khomeini. He had much respect for clergies and their clerical robe, and he didn't disrespect them. Tayyib was imprisoned for his disobedience to Shah. In prison, he repented for his past sins. He was tortured in prison, but he again didn't accept the Shah's request to act against the late Imam Khomeini. Finally, he was executed for his disobedience. On his way to Gibbet, he told the executor, "Please tell Ayatollah Khomeini that I repented and I didn't act against you and religion of Allah. Just tell Ayatollah Khomeini to pray for me and don't forget me in his supplications." Right after the late Imam Khomeini came to Qom, in his sermon in Faizia school, he asked all the audience to do compensatory or qadha prayer and fasting for Tayyib Rezai for one day. This way, Tayyib's invocation was answered by the late Imam Khomeini. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Mandegari. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
امام خمینی، God's righteous servant. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, these days mark the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. We have prepared a special series on this occasion. The first episode will be a brief look at Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, as the great leader of this revolution. Stay tuned, please. Imam Khomeini had been sent to exile for more than 14 years due to his struggles against the British-installed and American-supported Pahlavi regime. The Imam was sent clandestinely to Turkey in 1964. After some 10 months, he was transferred to the holy city of Najaf in Iraq. The Imam stayed in Najaf for more than 13 years, till the increase of pressures by the Shah of Iran, which forced him to change his residence from Iraq to the village of Nofel-le-Chateau near Paris. On February 1, 1979, Imam Khomeini's airplane took off toward Tehran. At time of entering Iran's air, a journalist asked the Imam how he felt. Imam Khomeini answered indifferently, "Nothing." Unlike the leaders of uprisings and revolutions who rejoice for triumph over their enemies, the Imam said nothing, as he had acted according to his duty and for God's sake. So he would not get sad if he failed, and he didn't become happy when he triumphed. On February 1, 1979, the greatest and most glorious welcome in history was accorded to Imam Khomeini. The axis of victory of the Islamic Revolution was surely the unmatched leader who was ably and powerfully guided the nation better than any politician in the world. While religion had been quite isolated and pushed to the margin, Imam Khomeini followed the method of the Prophet of Islam and his infallible successors to liberate a nation from the yoke of colonialists and bullies of the world. He awakened the nation and granted self-esteem, self-confidence, and identity to them and other Muslim nations. The Imam presented a new system of governance on the basis of Islam within the structure of people's vote. Here, it should be noted that people's vote played a true role in Imam's view, opposite to the flawed and backward Western democracy, which only pretends to act on the basis of people's vote, while in practice, it is at the service of the owners of power. Imam Khomeini's successor, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, describes the Imam as follows. One of the titles and epithets which have been used less about our great Imam is this phrase. We always describe the Imam with numerous epithets, but this epithet, which we have described him rarely with it, is a comprehensive epithet. He is faithful, submissive servant, and revolutionary. Faithful means that he has faith in God. He has faith in the goal. He has faith in the path that takes him to this goal. And he has faith in people. It has been mentioned in the Quran about the noble prophet too. He had faith in God. Faith in the goal, faith in the path, and faith in people. He is a servant, a submissive servant. It means that he considers himself a servant before the Lord. This is a very important epithet. Look, God, the Exalted, has praised the noble prophet with numerous epithets in the Quran, each of which mentions an ample chapter of the Prophet's characteristics. But the epithet which we Muslims have been ordered to repeat every day in our daily ritual prayers on the Prophet is this. I bear witness that indeed Muhammad is his servant and apostle. This indicates the importance of servitude. Being a servant is so prominent that God the Exalted teaches Muslims this epithet to repeat it several times in their prayers every day. The Imam had such an epithet, the epithet of servitude. He was a man of humbleness. He was a man of pleading humbly. And he was a man of praying, a submissive servant. And as for the third epithet, that is revolutionary, the Imam was the Imam of the Revolution. Imam Khomeini enjoyed a comprehensive godly personality. Therefore, upon his splendid return to the country, he opened new vistas of Islam before the contemporary man and presented Islam As a progressive religion which is capable of meeting all the demands of man in the modern world, the Iranian people had truly found their beliefs and ideals in his words and deeds. Therefore, they unanimously gathered around him. Imam Khomeini raised pure Mohammedan Islam as the new view on Islam, which includes every political, economic, cultural, and social aspect in human life. His take of Islam is a religion which fights the world oppressors and bullies in support for the oppressed and downtrodden in every country. The great leader of the Islamic Revolution believed that the way to the hereafter goes through this world. For him, both individual and social affairs mattered in order to help the individual and society grow. The Imam would never forget midnight prayer even when he was sick. On the night of flying to Tehran from Paris, while everyone was asleep, Imam Khomeini was performing midnight prayer on the upper floor of the airplane. Ayatollah Khamenei says, "What enabled the Imam to guide, administer, and lead this nation and this great revolution was his relation with God, his connection with God, his attention to God. He was truly God's servant, righteous servant. I cannot find a better epithet than this for Imam. He was a righteous servant."
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, self-building. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of self-building in the Islamic lifestyle. It is important that a Muslim must know about himself. He should have the knowledge about himself. And after that, he must analyze himself. And after that, he should strive for the self-building or the self-spiritual building. He must purify himself. He must purify himself so that he can get to the perfection. On the other hand, when we look at the Islamic teachings, Allah also has said in the Quran, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah has blessed people. He had gave the favor to the people, or to the mu'mineen, إِذْ بَعْثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا, that he has raised a messenger from themselves. What to do? In order to read the book for them, in order to read the verses, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِ. This is the first step. The second step, Allah says, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and to purify them so that they can have the self-building. The third step is وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, and to teach them the knowledge of the book, وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and the wisdom. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the favor that He has raised messengers from ourselves. Those messengers who are taking us towards the perfection. Therefore, in order to have the best Islamic lifestyle, it is necessary to purify ourselves. It is necessary to strive for the self-building. It is necessary to have this spiritual self-building so that we can achieve the perfection in its true meanings. And we cannot achieve this unless we do not follow the book of God. Unless we do not follow the footsteps
of the messengers of God, which he raised from ourselves for our guidance. Therefore, it is necessary in the self-building to follow the footsteps of the Prophet and to follow the verses of the Quran, inshallah.
Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of self-building in the Islamic lifestyle. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has said that he has raised messengers from our own selves so that, number one, they do yatlu alayhim ayati. So we can see that the first step or the first orders for the messengers were to read the verses for the people, to acknowledge people or to tell people about the signs and the verses of God. Therefore, if as a Muslim I want to have a self-building, the first thing that I need to do is yatlu ayat. I need to read the verses of Quran. I need to read the verses of the Quran to know that this book of guidance, what does it say? The second step for the prophets and the messengers were وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. They used to purify people. After reading the verses, when people knew about the orders of God, then they used to purify them. They used to call them towards the purification. And this is what we need to do. When we read the verses of the book, we know about the halal and haram. We know what things are allowable and what things are forbidden in Islam. Therefore, I will perform the allowable things. I will enjoy the allowable things and I will avoid the forbidden things. So this is in the Quran, yatlu alayhim. When I read the verses of the Quran, I know about it. And then I can purify myself by avoiding every single evil and by adorning myself with all the goodness. And after that, the next step is when I purified myself, yu'allimuhumul kitaba wal hikmah. This is the next step, that when someone is purified, then the knowledge of book and the wisdom is been given to him as it was given to the prophets, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The tactics against Iran.
Somebody is killing Iranian nuclear scientists. Mostafa Ahmadi Roshan murdered along with his driver in broad daylight in Tehran traffic.
One of Iran's top nuclear scientists has been killed in a car bombing in the capital Tehran.
Two motorcyclists tracked the car through Tehran's morning rush hour, lobbing a magnetic bomb right at Roshan. A mission that seemed right out of a spy thriller like Syriana.
It has all the earmarks of an Israeli operation, very sophisticated, very particular, and very effective.
People are killing Iranian nuclear scientists in a very clear pattern. Sir, who do you think is behind it?
We believe that these terrorist attacks are supported by some elements in the, especially within the Israeli regime, as well as some quarters around the world.
And what about Israel? What reaction today?
You know, Diane, we've been looking for responses from Israel all day, and where did we find it? Facebook, with the Israeli Defense Force spokesman saying, I don't know who settled the score with the Iranian scientist, but I am certainly not shedding a tear, not exactly a denial there.
Nuclear scientist Dariush Reza-i-Nejad was assassinated on the 23rd of July 2011. On the afternoon he died, his wife and five-year-old daughter were in the car with him. He was 32. Fereydoon Abbasi was attacked on the 29th of November 2010 as head of Iran's Atomic Energy Agency on his way to the university where he taught nuclear physics. The 53-year-old survived the attack. He says the fact that Iranian scientists are asked to give so much personal information when they travel speaks volumes in itself. On the same day, and at almost exactly the same time, another assassination attack was being launched on the other side of town. 40-year-old Majid Shahriari was the target. He and his wife were on their way to the university where they both taught when a bomb was attached to their car. Shahriari was killed, his wife survived, but with serious injuries. She still bears the scars of that day. She says before the attack, they had received many death threats. In the past years, there have been 5 assassination attacks targeting Iranian nuclear scientists in Iran. 4 were successful and 1 failed. The number of attacks and the way they were launched show a trend. So what entity or entities are responsible for these attacks?
Maximum covert operations to block and disrupt the Iranian program, including taking out their scientists, including breaking up their systems, all of it covertly, all of it deniable. Second, maximum coordination with the Israelis, in a way which allows them to maximize their impact in Iran. Third, absolute strategic program comparable to what President Reagan, Pope John Paul II, and Margaret Thatcher did to the Soviet Union, of every possible aspect short of war, of breaking the regime and bringing it down.
Mark Perry is an American intelligence and foreign affairs analyst based in Washington.
These are sophisticated operations. They're not suicide bombings. The most recent incident was a magnetic bomb, so I would say it's clear that it was an outside intelligence agency. And Leon Panetta, our Secretary of Defense, has said he has a pretty good idea of who did it, and I think he was hinting that it was the Israelis.
Iran has been threatened and sanctioned over its nuclear energy program. 5 assassination attacks have been launched on Iranian nuclear scientists, and now the drums of war can be heard coming from the West. So are the countries pressuring Iran really worried about Iran having nuclear power? Or is the problem something else?
Let's get more on this now from RT's Peter Oliver. Peter, what exactly did Vladimir Putin say?
Well, he was really addressing his standpoint on key foreign policy issues. Iran was also on the lips of the Prime Minister. For a few years now, we've seen criticism of Russia's decision to build a nuclear power plant in Iran. Vladimir Putin saying this, The allegations that Iran was developing nuclear weapons was being used as an excuse to try and initiate regime change in the country.
public perception is very important in all this. To take such drastic steps against another country, the nations involved have to be geared up to accept such an event. Iran's nuclear energy program has been the center of a lot of Western media attention. It's been labeled a nuclear weapons program, and Israeli director Alex Trayman has made a documentary called Iranium to brand that label on the public psyche.
Ronald Reagan helped a lot with the collapse of the Soviet Union by calling them an evil empire and saying, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
It's very much in the interests of the people of Iran, as well as all of Iran's neighbors and us, for us to do everything humanly possible to get this regime to collapse before it gets a nuclear weapon.
2 + 2 = 4. Israel feels threatened by Iran. It said it would do anything to protect its country. Unlike the United States, the Mossad does not have a prohibition against assassination. Clearly, they want to be able to react to the Iranian threat in any manner they can, up to and including assassinations.
Israel has kept quiet over the assassination of Iranian scientists, but the US, Israel's staunch supporter, has been quite vocal about the whole thing. US presidential candidates say if that's what it takes, so be it.
You have to take whatever steps are necessary to break its capacity to have a nuclear weapon.
And it appears obvious to me that the administration is doing little to nothing. Now, I'm hopeful that some of the things we're seeing with respect to the nuclear program that the United States is involved with, which is, on occasion, scientists working on the nuclear program in Iran turn up dead. I think that's a wonderful thing, candidate. I think we should send a very clear message that if you are a scientist from Russia or from North Korea or from Iran and you're going to work on the nuclear program to develop a nuclear bomb from Iran, you are not safe. And if people say, well, you can't go out and assassinate people, well, tell that to Milwaukee. Yeah. Okay? We've done it. We've done it for an American citizen.
I want to categorically deny any United States involvement in any kind of act of violence inside Iran.
Various entities are feeding off the political narrative surrounding Iran's nuclear program, from the media to weapons companies. It's a topic that has influenced global prices, is being used as a tool in elections, and even as an excuse for insurance companies that trade in and around Iran to push up prices. And certain groups that have also been fighting against the Iranian government for years have hooked their wagon up to this caravan.
Remember, this all started when we found them enriching uranium in an undeclared fashion. And it happened because somebody told on them. There was an Iranian group that brought forth the information.
A former United Nations weapons inspector in Iraq says Israel and the MKO are collaborating.
The question is, did that information, was it sourced by the MKO itself, or was the MKO used as a vehicle to provide this information to the public? There's reason to believe that in the case of the Natanz information, that this information was actually a product of a third agency, an outside party, Israel. Which developed this intelligence, and then Israel used the MKO as the vehicle to spread this information because of the MKO's past record of having intelligence information relevant to the Islamic Republic.
Do you believe that the Israelis are working with the People's Mujahideen of Iran? Do you believe Israel is working with Iranian dissidents?
I would say this: Iran is highly alert to the possibility of Israelis infiltrating it with false identities, trying to kill people, sabotage the Iranian nuclear project, and therefore it is very hard for Israelis to work in Iran. And it might that unlike the history of most of the history of Israeli intelligence, where these operations were conducted on a, quote, blue and white principle, which is the colors of the flags of Israel, meaning only Israeli citizens, only Jews participate in such an operation. Maybe in Iran, the case is different because Iran is a different territory and very hard to work in. When you got such a territory, you might think to recruit locals upon your own people.
By its own admission, the West considers all the options to be on the table. Threats, sanctions, assassinations, and now the drums of war. Iran says Western think tanks are employing rather feeble strategies and are grossly mistaken in their calculations regarding Iran and the Iranian nation. Of course, the tactics being used against Iran can only succeed if the international community buys into all the hype and propaganda surrounding Iran.
You take a look at Iran and you realize that there's a number of patterns in place that are the exact replica of what had occurred with Iraq. I realized that the United States was playing the exact same game with Iran, manufacturing an artificial crisis over Iran's nuclear weapons program. And then you have a track record of the United States exaggerating a case of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and now you take a look at the case they're making with Iran, and you realize that the same pattern is at play, that the United States is manufacturing a false premise for confronting Iran. For what reason? Regime change.
Mind you, the international community did just that back in 2001 and 2003, when the West attacked Afghanistan and Iraq.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وجل.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Here again we are with some of the students of Xavier International School, Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Brother Ali Nasir, and Fawad Haider, and also Hassan Nasrullah. So today, inshallah, we'll be talking about Ayah 263 of Surah Al-Baqarah. قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرًا. Okay, we'll talk about this ayah, inshallah. It's on page 44. Page 44 of the Quran and Kareem. Brothers and sisters, hold your Qurans. Please turn to page 44, ayah 263 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Let's everyone once listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qawlun ma'rufun wa maghfiratun khayrun min sadaqatin yatba'uha adha. Wallahu ghaniyun halim.
Nice recitation, alhamdulillah. I will be now doing the recitation. Make sure you repeat after me. All right?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, as you're listening together with our brothers here, please listen and practice.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
قول معروف ومعروف مغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى
قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى
أحسنتم والله غني حليم
والله غني حليم
أحسنتم ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. In the previous ayah, Allah Almighty said that when you donate, when you give charity, yes, to someone, you will have the reward of that. But if you express favor after that, if you like say that it was me who helped you, like you had nothing, yes, all you have is because of me, these things, these kind of sentences, like in form of disrespecting someone, yes, the one who you helped, you donated. So if you do so, Allah Almighty said, you will not get your reward. But if you do not do this, only donating for the sake of Allah Almighty, with actually ikhlas, okay, with ikhlas, so you will get your reward. Yes? Here, Allah Almighty in this ayah says that, look, even if you do not help someone, okay, it's okay. But if you want to help someone, do not do it with expressing favor after that or annoying someone with those kind of sentences. What's better than this? Better than this is this. If you help someone and annoy them as well, okay, don't do it. Instead, do what? Say them good sentences. Talk to them in a respectful manner. If someone comes and asks you for what, please, he's begging you. I need some money. Please give me today. I'm really in need of 10,000 tumans even, okay? Then Fawad says, sorry, brother, I know you're in a bad situation, but if you want me to tell you the truth, today I don't have. Otherwise, I really would have given you. So please, sorry, okay? Forgive me. Otherwise, I would really give you. This is a respect, in a respectful manner, you reject someone. This is better than giving him 10,000 tumans and say tomorrow when you saw him, okay? Oh, it was me. Look, for 10,000 tuman you came to me and you were asking me. You are that poor person. So what is better? Respecting someone is better. قَوْلٌ ma'ruf, the best way to say, okay? The respectful way to talk to someone. This is better than قَوْلٌ ma'ruf وَمَغْفِرَةٌ. Sometimes you donate someone. A poor person comes to you. He asks you, he begs you for money. You give him and he says something bad to you as well. وَمَغْفِرَةٌ, forgive them. Forgiving them is as well better. Or sometimes you do not have the money. They come and beg you. You do not have to give them. Okay? And instead, what do? They say, they use bad words. Okay? They might talk to you in a bad way. Okay? That you poor. You're poorer than me. Like this. Or any other. I don't want to say. So you know what they will say sometimes. Yeah? So مَغْفِرَةٌ. If you forgive them, it's better than giving them millions of dollars and then annoying them. Okay? It's not comparable even. So it's better. قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ مِّن than the charity that has the annoying after it. Okay? وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ. Allah Almighty is the independent. He has the all. He is full. Okay? Full of, like, he has everything. So, Allah is all sufficient. Halim, Allah is also most forbearing. He will punish you. If Allah Almighty does not punish you in this world, He will punish you in the next world, in the coming world, okay? And hereafter. Make sure we should be among those who are respecting people. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, respect to have respect. Okay? Respect others to have respect. Yeah, that's it. The message from this ayah, inshallah, I want you to refer to the Tafasir book for more explanation. Of course, you will find a lot. That's enough. We'll move on to the Tajweed rules.
Yabki yas'alu khaliqahu فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So the very let me once read. I want Hussein to read it once. Then we will work on the tajweed rules.
قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى.
أحسنتم.
والله غني حليم.
ما شاء الله. قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى. قول تنوين plus معروف starts with ميم. We had a rule, تنوين plus ميم, huh?
إدغام.
The rule إدغام is applied. You join the sounds, you merge them. Okay, قول will be merged to ميم. قول, the نون sound in قول will be merged into ميم. There will be no longer a نون sound. قول إدغام with غنة, right? إدغام with غنة. Yes, قول معروف فن تنوين again plus واو again إدغام. The rule إدغام. So you merge the sound of فن into واو. معروف, right? قول معروف again nasal sound. In both examples, we should produce a nasal sound. قول معروف ومغفرة تن تنوين plus خيرون starts with the letter خا. The rule
إظهار.
إظهار, right? إظهار tells you you should clearly pronounce the sound of the تنوين or نون ساكين. Yes? Ali Nasser, am I right?
Yes.
Okay. مغفرة خيرون خيرون plus ميم again تنوين plus ميم إظهار خيرون, right? With nasal sound. Min sadaqatin min nun sakin fawad. Next next word starts with sa.
Sa
ikhfa, right? Min sadaqatin. You hide the sound of the nun. Min sadaqatin, right? Sadaqatin again tanween plus
ya.
Idgham Hussein, yes?
Yes.
Sadaqati. Merge them. صدقتي nasal sound plus, okay? يتبعها ألف مد ها ألف مد plus next word starts with همزة. يتبعها أذى. Is the mad wajib here?
No.
No, the mad is not wajib. Why, Hussein?
Because همزة and mad are in separate words.
In two different words. يتبعها أذى. You can skip the mad or stretch the sound. يتبعها أذى, right? أذن, it has تنوين فتحة and ألف مقصورة, right? ألف مقصورة is functions the same as ألف. أذى أذن. So here, because we stop, the تنوين فتحة will be changed into
ساكن سكون.
No,
ألف 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 مد.
Not short vowel.
ألف
long vowel, but ألف مد. Yeah, long vowel ألف مد. Then changes to
Adha,
right? And there is a word qila. Do you see that?
Yes.
What does
yes.
it say?
Waqf is better than wasl.
Yeah, al waqfu awla min al wasl. Okay, so waqf is better than wasl. Stopping here is better than continuing. Wallahu. The word, the letter lam and the word Allah should be pronounced with an a sound. Allah, Allah. Why? Because there is,
Dham. A fatha sound
before. Wallahu ghaniyun halim. Ghaniyun tanween plus halim starts with the letter ha. It's amongst the throat letters, so the rule idhar is applied. You have to produce the sound of tanween clearly. والله غني حليم حليم. Make sure you stretch the sound because it's the rule. مد العارض للسكون. You should apply the rule. Okay.
Guys, too many tanween we have here. قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ صَدَقَةٍ أَذَنْ غَنِيٌ. So let's explain them. Guys, brothers and sisters, we'll shortly explain them, okay? We had four rules with tanween and nun sakin. So there are four groups of letters. Idhar letters or throat letters, idgham letters, yarmalun letters, we say, and iqlab, which is just one letter, and ikhfa. Idhar letters, there are six letters. Hamza, ha, ha, kha, ayn, ghain. Whenever you see these six letters after the tanween or nun sakin, do not hesitate. Clearly pronounce the tanween or nun sakin sound. Nun sound should be clear. Then, yarmalun. Ya, ra, mim, lam, waw, nun. If you see one of these six letters, merge the sound of tanween or nun sakin into one of these letters. Yes? Plus, next rule, the letter ba. If you see the letter ba after the tanween or nun sakin, make sure it's the iqlab rule, right? You should change the sound of the nun sakin or tanween into a hidden mim, right? The last rule, the rest of the letters, whenever you see fa, jim, za, dal, dal, sin, shin, any of the letters. So you should hide the sound of tanween or nun sakin. It's called ikhfa, hiding. So that was all from us in this session about the tajweed rules, a short explanation about the ayah. Make sure for the more explanations, refer to the tafsir book. Okay, Ali Nasir? Yes? Okay.
Yes.
And tajweed rules practice, inshallah. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for being with us today in this session. Please stay with us every day, inshallah. We'll be here with you with one Quranic session on IRIB English Radio. So, we will give thanks to IRIB English Radio for such kind of Quranic sessions, and also Sevier International School for cooperation. Plus, let's give thanks to all of you for being with us. Fawad Haider, Ali Nasir, Hassan Ruhullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and Hassan Nasrullah. Thank you so much. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil faraj.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.